We're continuing our series in Acts. I hope you've been enjoying it so far. We're going through Acts 8 this morning, verses 1 to 40. The power and proclamation, the work of the Holy Spirit. This is an interesting segue. Anyone know who that is?
Yeah.
Subo. Anyone know when she was first made famous?
Yeah.
When? No, I don't, I don't actually know the date. Does anyone know what program she was made famous on? Britain's Got Talent.
2009.
Thank you, 2009. We'll double check that, Joel, but you know, you could be right. I'm not going to debate with you. Yeah, Britain's Got Talent. I don't know who actually watches this. Quick show of hands if you know what it is. I thought there'd be a good few. For those that don't know, essentially it's a giant talent contest, which has some very good performances on, some not so much. But essentially, the goal is to be able to perform in front of royalty at the Royal Albert Hall at the Royal Variety Performance. I don't know if you enjoy, does anyone enjoy the singing, those kind of performances? Few nods. Does anyone enjoy the animal, the dog performances? No, I can't. I always, some people do. I'm always like, this is straight away, I'm like, skip, 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 skip. I don't really enjoy the dance ones. I'm always seeing another. I'm out of favour in our household because they all love the dance ones. What I like is I love the magicians that come on. I love a good wow moment where you're left dumbfounded and looking in and thinking, I don't know how they do that. But a good wow moment for me is brilliant. I love seeing something that makes me go, wow. And this morning, as we're going through the book of Acts, we're going to be reading some amazing wow moments. And the question for me really is, wow, but what now? There's a tendency we can approach the workings of the Holy Spirit and see a wow moment, but not quite know what to do with it. So I'm going to read from, where do I point? If you want to join with me, we're starting in Acts. We're going from 1 to 3 initially, and then we're going to come through the passage as we go through. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all the apostles were, all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Let me pray as we open. Lord, would you speak to us this morning by your word? Father, we have enjoyed being in your presence and giving you glory. And Lord, I pray as we come to your word, would you speak to us? Would you reveal more of yourself to us? Would we come and experience you this morning, I pray. Let me start where I want to end this morning. And this is something for you to be thinking about as we go through. I want you to come to this story expecting God to speak to you personally. Not just listening and understanding, but understanding that the Holy Spirit is for you today. So let me start where I want to end. There's going to be an invitation to respond, and that might be just where you are, so don't worry, I'm not going to make you come up. If you want to come up, that'd be absolutely fine. But an encouragement to you to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I also want to encourage some here this morning to step out in faith in bringing a word of knowledge, and that's a big step for some. We heard Lindsay's testimony of God at work in her life through healing. And this morning we're going to be reading some stories there that are challenging to us. But I also know that this isn't something that I do on my own here from the platform. I do it from the congregation. We do it as a family. And God speaks to us. So we're going to have some time at the end to sing maybe one or two songs. And can I encourage you, be open to God speaking to you, that he would give you a word of knowledge of healing or something like that to encourage people in their faith. You know, we can approach these stories and sometimes feel quite flat when reading them. we see. We don't see that in our country. We don't see that in our church. Well, I think, look, there's an invitation this morning as we read this wow story to know that that is for us today, that God will use us. And we start in passages 1 to 3, God using persecution to propel proclamation. It doesn't matter what stage of life you are at, God can use you. And it doesn't matter what situation you get yourself into, God can still use you. I've got, me and my wife have a particular fondancy for our grass lawn. And my kids are constantly asking, can I go out and play football? And we've noticed, my wife might smile at this, we've noticed there's normally a response we give, which is, no, it's raining. The kids come again, Dad, can I go and play? And I say, no, I've just put some grass seed down. They say, Dad, can I go and play? No, it's too muddy. Dad, can I go play? No, it's too dusty. And we have used that one. Dad, can I go play? I say, no, it's too close to dinner. Dad, can I go play? No, you've just had dinner. Dad, can I go play? No, you don't have sun cream on. I know some of these are a bit tongue-in-cheek. I do hold to the grass seed one, which some the YA group are coming back to our house afterwards for lunch, and you're not allowed to go on the grass because there's grass seed on at the end. The front bit you can do, but not the end bit. There's always an excuse. It's trivial. We give these excuses for different things. Really, we just care about the grass more than our kids' enjoyment, which sounds a bit weird. But the fact that I can say that, I can be challenged on it. What we see here in Acts 8, as it opens, the church is in chaos. The church is in absolute chaos. You've got Stephen, and this is what Tony preached on last week, who's just been martyred. He's just been stoned. Saul begins persecuting the church. Believers are scattered. You know, if there was ever a good reason to keep your mouth shut, this would be one. I don't know if anyone has those little signs above their kind of kitchen door or placards of how they live life. Keep calm, carry on. I can imagine one being put out to the church in Jerusalem saying, keep quiet and carry on. I mean, can you imagine even this happening in our church? Say last week we said, look, the Clarks, they've just been taken off to prison. The Wakefords have just been taken. John Peel has lost his business. His assets have been frozen. That's the news this week. We're in a pretty dire situation. There's a volatile situation going on out there. Great excuses not to speak out. You know, you might be going through a health issue, under a lot of stress, going through relationship issues. But the truth is, there's never a season in which we are not called to declare God's work. What looks like defeat really is actually divine strategy. If you turn to Acts 1, verse 8, you see Jesus saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Acts 1, verse 8 is fulfilled in Acts 8, verse 1. We see all the believers, they're scattered. And where do they go? They go to Samaria. And what do? They preached the word wherever they went. They didn't stay quiet. They didn't stay silent. They preached. They were scattered and preached the word wherever they went. Listen, the Holy Spirit leads us even through difficulty. Verses 5 to 8 says, Philip went down to the city in Samaria. This is essentially, he's an Arsenal fan, Samaritans are Tottenham fans. There's a rivalry there, okay? Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Listen, the gospel comes with power and proclamation. This is not an either or. When Philip gets to Samaria, he preaches Christ and moves in power. We see unclean spirits coming out, and I don't entirely know what that would look like today. Maybe something unhelpful being detached from a person, a sense of deep freedom from maybe addictions in this world, and they are many. We see the lame healed, and believe me, I know what this one is. I work in the NHS in a clinic where I deal with people who are suffering from many joint problems, and I know what it's like. There is still many people in this world that struggle with disability and joint pains that unfortunately we just can't solve. There's no wonder that in this time, when there was no NHS, there's no GP you can call up to wait till the voice line opens up in the morning to call for help, that when we see people being healed, there is great joy, there is hope. I've got a colleague who's just started, he's come from, I think it's Uganda, and he's telling me about their health service. And you just think, my goodness, I cannot believe what I've got here. But even what we've got here, as great as it is still incomparable to what God can do. And the key really is in verse 6. It says, they paid close attention to what he said because of the signs they saw. There is a real danger we have in our walk, is that we compartmentalize our Christian life, separating word from works. You know, if I can just come up with a clever idea, a clever reason, a discussion, something like that, and not allowing those wow moments of, Holy Spirit, would you use me? Would you use this situation? As you go into work, I'm praying, Lord, would you use me today? And there might be, as you read this, a disconnect where you look and think, I just don't see this. I don't see what Philip saw. I don't see kind of these wow moments. Do you struggle to see the gospel advance in your community? Do you struggle with speaking out? Could one of the reasons be that we've stopped making room for the Holy Spirit and his power to be at work in our lives? Not just power, but proclamation. I'd encourage you, don't base your theology on your experience. You can come up with some funny conclusions based on your experience. You might say, I'm never going to get a job because I've never had one. I've never seen the Grand Canyon, therefore I don't believe it exists. Philip may have said, I've never seen any healing, so I'm not going to step out. At some point, Philip, for the first time, stepped out and prayed for someone, and miraculously, they were healed. Because I haven't seen the Holy Spirit move today, I don't believe it's for me. The promise of Scripture is that the Holy Spirit has been poured out. As Jesus ascends, he says, I'm sending you the Helper to pour out on your lives. And I want to look at three characters as we go through to see what we can learn from them. So picking up again in verse 9, it says, and we're going to kind of skip a few bits. It says in verse 9, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It's interesting, isn't it, that you can have great performances, but when the gospel comes, all that is just irrelevant to the truth that comes through Jesus Christ. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. And we're going to jump down to 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. and down to 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the road, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up with him and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. We've got three characters, things that we can draw out from the work of the Holy Spirit in this chapter. Philip is spirit-filled and obedient. We're introduced to Philip in John 1, verse 43. It says, the next day Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Jesus doesn't say, can you come up with three good ideas to stimulate church growth? Can you give me three habits to train and build on? Can you work on your holiness? Because then I might be able to use you. Can you prove yourself? Can you prepare a strategy? Can you make yourself worthy? Can you show me you can live in highly pressurized scenarios? No, two words, follow me. And what do we see here in this passage? We see Philip, spirit-filled and obedient. We see him following Jesus, following the Holy Spirit. The angel says, go south to the road. So he goes to a dusty road and stands there. I mean, can you imagine doing that? This is amazing. I feel like that must be you, God. I mean, it's been an angel, but I'm standing on a dusty road. And the Spirit says, go and stand by that chariot. Go walk by that chariot. Philip listens. He steps out. He moves in power and preaches the gospel boldly. He speaks to the crowd, but he also speaks to the one person. Even in persecution, Philip just gets on with it. He's obedient. It's funny, when you're preparing sermons, you end up researching loads of different things. I ended up researching geese flying. And you'll get it in a second. They fly in a V, yeah? You see it? They fly through. The reason they fly in a V is they're following the leader, okay? What happens when they fly in a V? They go 70% further than a solo mission. They expend less than 50% doing that job. So following brings with it great reward. You try and do it on your own, you're going to fail. The need is that we need the Holy Spirit. Philip was full of the Spirit, but also obedient to what God was calling him to do, even in the midst of persecution. It must have been pretty hard for Philip. He's gone down, he starts seeing revival happening across Samaria, and what does he hear? He says, time to go, Philip. It's time to move on. It's time to step out. I need you to go to the dusty road. Philip might well have thought, I think you got this one wrong. Can you not see the work that's going on here? Can you not see God's hand at work here? And what do we know happens? The Ethiopian becomes a Christian. The Ethiopian's baptized. And actually, this is where historians point to the start of the church in Ethiopia. A huge work. Faithful evangelism isn't just mass scale, it's spirit-led obedience. It might well be a simple conversation with someone that God calls you to have. The question this morning is, are you in step with the Spirit of God leading you as Philip was, or are you closed off to his voice? I do pray that we would not be closed off to God's voice. I think it becomes quite easy, doesn't it? We can linger on our own efforts, and we can close the door to what God wants to do. He won't force himself into your life. He invites you. He says, come, follow me. We see Simon the sorcerer, a guy who's power hungry but just has the wrong heart. You know, it's said of him that he was great. All the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. Simon was used to people pointing the fingers to him, saying, it's that guy, that's the guy. How much in our world do we live where people point to influencers and followers? You're judged by how many people follow you. The top TikTok following of the world is by a guy called, I'm definitely going to pronounce this wrong because you can tell I'm not on TikTok, is KB Lame. Does anyone know KB Lame? None. Over there? No. Oh, I was surprised. 162.5 million followers. Charlie D'Amelio, 157 million followers. Mr. Beast? Yeah, I know Mr. Beast, so right, that makes me feel quite young. I've just turned 40, but that's, yeah, it'll pick me up. 115 million followers. There's this obsession with attention, with the finger wanting to be pointed in our direction. And Simon is guilty of this. He believes, is baptized, and then sees the laying on of hands and thinks, oh, I used to do something like that. I'm sure people used to look to me. I used to be the guy that could, you know, make people amazed. And his heart reveals his question. Sorry, his question reveals his heart. Can I buy that? Can I buy that Holy Spirit? Because then, you know, that would be a great compliment to my preach, you know, my kind of performance. And I think it's that saying, isn't it? Old habits die hard. Poor Simon falls back into sinful attitudes very quickly. He's amazed by the signs, but misses the point that they are pointing to someone else. Simon wants it to point to him. We can easily fall into this as Christians. Take any aspect of church life. The temptation is always to point the finger at us. Peter's rebuke is strong. He says, your heart is not right before God. I see you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Do you know the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus? The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. It's what he delights to do. And as we come and respond in prayer and asking God, it's like the desire there is, Jesus, I want to make you glorified. Would you help me, Holy Spirit, to do that? Would you work through me to glorify Jesus? A question this morning for you that was asked really, or told of Peter, of Simon, is there bitterness in your heart? If your heart's not right, you'll try to nurture it and sort it out. Jesus heals your heart. Bitterness is a funny one. It's kind of there is actually something probably that was done to you or wronged, and you hold on to it, and it becomes more important, and it's like, no, I'm really annoyed because this hasn't been sorted out, and a root of bitterness digs in, and it disrupts you. And it affected Simon, and it can affect us. And the truth is, Jesus wants you to be free of it. Jesus wants you to be free of bitterness. You know, the outside is a reflection of the inside. We all need to be continually washed as we come to Jesus. Now, if you remember back to being a child, easy for some, might be a bit harder for others. I remember coming into dinner and my mum saying, wash your hands. And my response was, as my kids is, I don't need to, they're not dirty. Do you know what my parents said and what I say to my kids now? Wash your hands, they're dirty, okay? Kids might well show you their hands, and I'm like, it's so clear. But for us, it can sometimes be we're blind, that we think we've got it all sorted. Don't come to God thinking, I've got it all sorted. He's given us a way. Don't try and sort it out yourself. And finally, we're going to come to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, a man who was hungry and humble. Has anyone ever been to a party where they've been the plus one? You know, people wanted your friend at the party, you came as the plus one. Or have you ever been invited to a wedding? I'm just trying to look out to make sure I don't offend anyone. And you're just invited to the evening ceremony, the evening party. Has anyone had that? Yeah. We went to a wedding a few weeks ago. I won't say who, but it'd be obvious. And we got there, and it was a bit awkward. I've got to admit, we got into this garden, and there was the big marquee that looked lovely, and we turned up, and everyone who's been invited to the main events there, finishing off their meal, and I felt like a bit awkward. I was just standing there like, yeah. My mum was invited to the main thing. She's like, do you want some of my pudding? And I thought, I don't want some of your pudding. It felt a bit awkward, in all honesty. You know, you didn't quite make the cut. And if anyone wants to invite me to a wedding, I love them. Love them. Do you know, for the Ethiopian eunuch, I wonder if it would have been like this when he went to the temple. He's not Jewish, so he doesn't have that ancestral link straight in. There'd have been different rules and courts as far as he could get close to the centre. He's also a eunuch, which is really interesting, because that makes you, in a sense, unclean. Deuteronomy talks about things like that. So he doesn't quite have the access. And yet God sends Philip to him, not with huge signs, but with scripture. There's no crowd here. There's just a conversation that goes on. And yet the Spirit is powerfully present, even in just explaining the scripture to him. It's revealed, and he believes and is baptized by the side of the road. It's a bit odd. The question really is, why? Why does he get so keyed up and decide to stop the chariot and say, just baptize me in that pond there? I'll tell you, because he's all in. He has been in Jerusalem worshipping, and he knows what it's like to be on the outside. He knows what it's like to get close, but can't get close enough. And so on understanding scripture, it suddenly dawns on him, I have complete access, the same as everyone else. And so his question to Philip is, well, why can't I just get baptized right here, right now? The guy realizes that he's been an outsider and has looked in longingly, and his heart is pushing and desiring to know God and to be in deep communion with him. And the truth is, that is for us this morning. We have a great heritage in this country, a Christian heritage. It's a funny word to say. A Christian heritage. We grow up, I don't know about you, I grew up in a church school, and it's all just, it can be so familiar, but we can forget that we have such a great heritage. There is such truth there. The Holy Spirit is always working ahead of us. You never know what God is setting up. The Spirit prepares hearts. Long before we arrive, he opens understanding, creates hunger, and invites people in. The gospel isn't just for the outsider, the rejected, the insider. It's for the outsider, the rejected, the different. You know, if we knew what we had, a bit like the eunuch, we would treasure it deeply. Philippians 3 verse 8 says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10 says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Let me say, being filled with the Holy Spirit is for all Christians, regardless of your past experiences. And so I just want to kind of just touch really on, where is the disconnect then? Where's the disconnect between what we see in this chapter and what we experience in our life? Why don't we see more of the Holy Spirit? it might be a good question you'd ask. You'd say, I read this and I believe it happened, but I don't see it. Why do I not see it? Why do I not see the Holy Spirit at work in my life? And these are hard questions to ask, and they're challenging. Let me say, is there a tendency that we have quenched the Spirit? The Bible talks about quenching the Holy Spirit. Have we drunk elsewhere and thereby quenched our thirst of God? Our culture, our time is saturated with consumerism. We are saturated with entertainment. We fill up on pleasure and joy and forget that the deepest pleasure is found in Jesus, in communing with him. Let me say, when you get ill, as you will, where do you first go? When something hurts, when something's painful, when something's not right, what is your first port of call? Do you go straight to the GP or do you go straight to God? A quenching of the Holy Spirit is to not ask him to fill you. A quenching is to say, I'm going to saturate myself with this and not allow God into a situation. It's great that we've got the testimony of Lindsay there, that she said, I came and I asked the elders to pray for me. That's a step saying, Lord, look, this is out of my hands. I need you. I can't sort this on my own. We had Alan bringing a tongue earlier. You know, we might quench the Spirit by just saying, look, it's a bit wacky. I don't quite like even the idea of reading it out. What was it? With shrieks, impure spirits came out. Far too wacky. Can we just keep it to some text, and then that I'm safe with that. That's my comfort zone. Everything else pushes me out. Can't quite deal with the idea that the Holy Spirit heals people. It pushes me way outside my faith and comfort zones.
Can I ask a question?
You can in a minute. There is a tendency to push intellect over the Holy Spirit power, to try and understand everything instead of depending on him. You know, I have a tendency at work, I can sit there in my room and I can sit there the whole day and not have a drink. And yet when I exercise, I thirst. I need something. Do you know, when we step out in faith, we realize we have a deep need and hunger for God. I need him more than ever at work when I'm trying to speak to my friends about him. Let me encourage you to stir up thirst. Should we stand? We've got 10 minutes, so if the band can come back. Just before we kind of go into a song, can I ask you, you might want to shut your eyes, you might want to just have a think about what God is speaking to you about. Something sticks out, I know it does, something sticks out and you even with what I'm saying, it kind of, it pulls you a bit and you kind of think, not me. We believe the Holy Spirit is here. God is here by his Holy Spirit. That's not just a theological concept, an abstract sentence. The Holy Spirit is here, and his deep desire is to meet with you and glorify the Son. I feel God would want to encourage you and develop a deep thirst in you to experience him. That might actually be stopping drinking something else and drinking of God. There's practical element to it, but there is a deep desire there to hunger after God. I'm going to pray. I'd also like you, if you felt God speaking, feel free to come down and have a chat with Ashley about encouraging us. We're going to sing a couple of songs. There's a time here to respond to God It's an opportunity for you. Don't let it pass you by to experience him. You may never have experienced the Holy Spirit. That does not mean you cannot experience the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't base your understanding on your past experience. It never does you good. Know that the Holy Spirit is here for you today and wants to meet with you and wants to encourage you in your walk with him and bring power to your life. Lord, would you come now by your Holy Spirit? Come and fill us again, not for our sake, but that Jesus might be glorified in our lives. Lord, we ask for forgiveness if we have quenched the work of the Holy Spirit, if we've tried to sort these things out in our own strength, but have not knelt down and depended on you and asked, would you move in power? Lord, we realize our nation needs a great move of your Spirit if we're to see it saved. Lord, we are thankful that you are true to your word and you said you will pour your Spirit out on the old and the young. You would come and fill us. And we do pray, help us, Lord. Come now by your Spirit, I pray. Come and speak into people's lives. Come and bring words of encouragement. Come.